Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives. We thank you for all that you are doing in our favor. You, for breakthroughs you have given to us. Thank you for victories you have given to us. We thank you for the light of your word that is shining our souls and minds and spirits, setting us free from every bondage. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for all that we have learned from you. We thank you for how your truths and revelations are changing our lives into the kind of person you want us to be. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for how you have helped us to do your will. We thank you for helping us to repent genuinely and to change our ways to align with your ways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We are so grateful for these classes we have been having every Tuesday. We thank you for many things you have been showing us and teaching us and instructing us. Thank you, Father. Oh Lord, I ask that as we would be having another class session right now, speak your mind to everyone that will be listening. I ask, oh God, that the things you have taught us in the past, bring them all to our remembrance again. And the things that you will be teaching us even now, make everyone understand and let it edify and transform our lives. Thank you, Father, because we know you shall do beyond our request. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And we would continue from where we stopped. Today we would be concluding on the introduction. Yeah, there are five parts of this teaching. I mean, we have part one, part two, part three, part four, part five. Yeah, so I will just finish with the introduction today. So, and then we start with part one next week. Yeah. So there are just 2 points left in the introduction. The next point is being true to the truth. Being true to the truth. I have said some things about this before. I think when I was talking about discernment as a cutting edge or as a truth stone, I think I've said something about this particular point. Now, let us look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Yeah, I read, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Yeah, holding faith. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience. And those who try to separate good conscience from faith, they have suffered shipwreck of their faith, meaning that they have fallen from the faith. They have failed God because they tried separating good conscience from faith. Just as you can't separate love from faith. The Bible told us that we have been commanded to have a faith that is based on love. Our faith should be based on love. So the same way your faith must be based on love, is the same way your faith must be based on good conscience, or must have good conscience. So without good conscience, your faith is dark. Yeah, without good conscience, your faith will lead to darkness, will lead you to darkness, or will cause darkness, or cause evil, or cause unrighteousness. Now, let me give you an example of how faith and good conscience are connected. Yeah. Let's say, for instance, you are living in a community, and a man who is living in the third building to your home building just bought a beautiful car. I mean, in that community, your neighbor or the person living in the third house after yours in that community or in that or on that street just bought a beautiful car, and then when you saw the car, you were like, "Oh God, I also need a car. Oh God, please give me a car. Look at this, my neighbor. He just bought a beautiful car. I also need a car. Oh Lord Jesus, I need a car. Oh Lord Jesus, I need a beautiful car." Now, that kind of faith is not pure because it does not have good conscience. Yeah, because the trigger of that kind of faith is envy. Is not pure, because the root or the motivation or the trigger is wrong. There's nothing wrong in asking God to give you a car, but when you have tied it to things like jealousy, envy, greed, lack of contentment. Yeah, I think that is greed, when you're not contented with what God gives you per time. Or competition, you're trying to compete with another person. So why your faith is coming from those sources or from those triggers, then it does not have good conscience. Then your faith is void of good conscience. And at that time, you are in darkness. Yeah. Or maybe you just suddenly heard that one of your friends has now gotten married, and you have been waiting for a long time to get married, and you know, and marriage is not forthcoming. And then you now start crying and say, God, look at my life. I also need marriage. Yeah, not that you have, you know, you're trying to remind God some prayers you have prayed before. Maybe you have prayed for marital breakthrough before. Not that you were trying to remind God of those requests, but because you felt like that friend shouldn't get married before you. Yeah, you felt like it is wrong for your friend to get married before you. And then you now start demonstrating faith. You say, I'm going to sow a seed so that my marriage can appear quickly. You can sow that seed and nothing will happen. Or you say, I'm going to do a 14 days fasting so that my marriage can appear quickly, so that I can get married quickly. Because you just heard that a friend, I mean one of your friends got married, and then you now begin to go into some fasting, go into some spiritual exercises, so that you two can you two can get married quickly. You'll be surprised that after those exercises, nothing will happen. The reason is because the foundation of that faith is wrong. That faith does not have good conscience. Yeah, it does not have good conscience. Or, I'm just trying to give you examples so you can know if you have been having that kind of faith and if you need to stop. I mean, of course, you have to stop. If you have been having that kind of faith, then you will know how to stop. Yeah. Another one is someone who wants to walk in the gifts of power. A Christian or a minister of God who wants to operate in the gift of power. When I mean gift of power, I'm talking about gift of miracles, especially visible miracles like deliverance, healings, raising the dead back to life, and many other powerful manifestations like causing rain to stop. While rain is falling, you suddenly pray and rain stop instantly. Or rain has not been falling for a long time, and then you pray, the rain starts falling. So all those gifts of working of miracles, those are power gifts. Yeah, and then the motivation behind you asking God to give you such kind of anointing or gift is because you want to show your other pastors or other ministers that you are anointed. Yeah, that kind of faith does not have good conscience. If you go into fasting to ask God for power because you want to show some people that you too can work miracles, You two can heal the sick. You two can cast out devils. Then that faith lacks good conscience. Yeah, because that is not why God gives people power, not for show off and not for competition. Not that you are trying to say, I too have to show this other pastor that is not only him that can heal the sick. So I have to do the same. I have to be able to heal the sick. So that is spirit of competition. Yeah. And you now go in that spirit to start fasting and asking God, that church, they always work miracles. So in my church too, God, let there be miracles. In my church too, let us see instant healings, instant deliverances. Now, God, in most cases, if not in all cases, God will not answer that prayer. Yeah, because the faith you have in that prayer or for that prayer is not pure. That faith does not have good conscience. Yeah, because that faith is based on competition, is based on pride, is not based on love for God, love for the kingdom of God. It's not based on passion and compassion for those that are suffering, for those that are sick, for those that are being oppressed, for those that are in bondage. So if you are asking God to give you power because you have this passion to see sick people healed, to see people in bondage delivered, and that kind of prayer or that kind of faith would easily draw God's attention to you, and you are likely to receive the anointing for that. Yeah. But if your conscience is not right, then your faith will not move God to action. Yeah. Your faith will not move God to action. So it is important that your heart is true to the truth. It is important that your heart and intentions and feelings and imaginations and character and attitude is true to the truth, meaning that it agrees with the truth. Yeah, so that is it. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. It says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. The word charity there also means love. Charity out of a pure heart, or love out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. Now the end of the commandment. I mean, all of God's commandments, what they all point towards, I mean all the commandments in the Old Testament, all the commandments in the New Testament, all everything those commandments are pointing to is charity out of a pure heart. Love out of a pure heart. And of a good conscience, a charity, a love that has a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Now, faith unfeigned means that faith is not deceptive. Or maybe I should put it this way. Your Christian life is not hypocritical. Yeah. You are not an hypocrite. That's the meaning of faith or faint. You are not an hypocrite. So, let me give you an example. I heard of a man of God who always tell his followers, his disciples, he will tell them, when you are sick, don't take any drug. Don't ever try to take any drug. Believe in the healing power of God. Believe in the healing anointing. God is going to heal you. Don't take any drug when you are sick. Which is true. Yeah, it is true that we should add work to our faith. Just as I have preached on that in one of our prayer sessions, that we have to add work to our faith. You have to add actions to your faith. The Bible says faith without work is dead. So when you are trusting God for divine healing, you should show God something that you really want Him to heal you with His power. Yeah. But the reason why I laughed is that eventually they caught this man secretly taking drugs. Yeah, they caught the man secretly going for a medical checkup. In fact, I think they said he will invite doctors to come and check him, to come and prescribe drugs for him and treat him. And then he was speaking publicly, telling his disciples, don't ever try to take drugs. because it's going to stop the healing power of God from working in your life. Yeah, as good as that message is, which I always preach it, that before you think of drugs, make sure you have demonstrated faith first. Yeah, before you think of using drugs, demonstrate your faith in Christ first. Pray first. And even after pray, wait and see if God will heal you without using any channel, any physical channel, or herbal channel, or drug channel. Yeah, because God can use those channels. But God can also heal you without those channels, without drugs, without herbs, without vegetables or fruits or all of those other supplements. God can heal you without any of them. But sometimes He can choose to use those channels. So, but before you think about those channels God can use to heal, which are channels that is available with, you can get it with money. Drugs and vehicles, drugs can heal. Some drugs can heal. Yeah, some herbs can heal. So I call them channels or vehicles of natural healing. Vehicles of natural healing. Yeah, before you think about those other options, you should first demonstrate your faith in Christ. Yeah, and even wait. After you have prayed, wait for some time and see what will happen. You can wait for 2 days, 3 days and see what will happen. Now, if you now feel like God wants you to use one of those other mediums of healing, which is not demonic, then you can go ahead. Yeah, but this pastor did not preach it like that. He preached it like, don't ever try any other ways of getting healed. Just trust God and pray. Whereas he was doing the opposite. Yeah, so that is an example of having faith, having a feigned faith, a deceptive faith, a faith that has deception in it. It is telling people to do what you are not doing. Preaching a message you are not obeying. So you are trying to say, do as I say. You're telling people, do as I say. But don't do as I do. Yeah. That is a feigned faith. Yeah, but the Bible says we should have unfeigned faith, which means the same thing you tell people to do is the same thing you are doing secretly when those people can't see you. When those people are not there, you are doing exactly what you preach. Yeah. That is how we ought to live as Christians and as ministers of God. Yeah, in fact, if I am not doing what I am preaching, I know from the scriptures that my ministry will fail and my ministry will lack the power of transformation. My ministry will not be able to change lives if what I'm telling people to do, I don't do them. Yeah. Or I am secretly working against them, whereas I'm telling them publicly to do it. So my ministry would not change lives, and it will fail with time. For some time it might look like, I'm smart. I could just deceive people, do this, and then I am not doing what I'm saying they should do. But with time, everything will fall apart. I mean, my entire ministry will fall apart. Yeah, if I continue like that. So that is why we must be true to the truth. Now, and, you know, we are talking about building a strong discerning spirit. So you might be asking, how is being true to the truth, how is it going to help build a strong discerning spirit? It is simple. Some time ago I realized that the kind of person you are in your heart is the kind of people, how will I put it now? It's the kind of people you will be seeing and meeting everywhere you go. Yeah, the kind of person you are in your heart is the kind of people you will be seeing and meeting everywhere you go. If you are a deceiver, the people that would be your business partners, they will also be deceivers. The people that will be your friends, they will also be deceivers. So it's like saying that like things attract like things. Unlike things attract unlike. I don't know if that English is correct. I should say it this way. Pure things attract pure things. And impure things attract impure things. That is a rule in the realm of the spirit. When you are pure, you will attract people that are pure into your life. When you are not pure, you will attract people that are not pure into your life. It's so simple. So the same way with discernment, when you are pure, you will be able to discern accurately. Yeah. You will not be deceived in the spiritual realm, because you can be deceived in the spiritual realms. Yeah, you can be easily deceived in the spiritual realms. The darkness will be giving you facts in quotes that are not facts. Yeah, darkness will be giving you impressions. I mean, the spirits of darkness, they'll be giving you impressions, inspirations. And they will show you in a way to make you feel like that is the truth, but it is not the truth. Yeah, so the more of purity you have, the more pure things you'll be able to discern. Yeah. The more pure things you'll be able to discern. Let me give you an example. There are some prophets that when it comes to certain areas of life, they cannot give you correct prophecy. When it comes to certain areas of life, they can't give you correct prophecy. Because in that area, they are not yet pure in that area. Yeah. So in that area, they can't give you correct prophecy. In some other areas, they might be able to give you correct prophecy. They might be able to tell you correctly the mind of God. Yeah. But in certain areas, certain other areas, they will not be able to give you the mind of God. They will speak something, and if you follow that thing, you will fail in destiny. Yeah, why? Because in that realm, they are not pure, because they have not overcome the darkness in that realm or in that area of life. That is why they cannot discern correctly. Now, let me give an example that I know, or maybe that I've experienced personally. I realized that many prophets in Nigeria, many prophets in Nigeria have deceived a lot of Nigerians, telling them that God wants them to travel out of Nigeria, that God wants them to relocate to America, to Canada, to Europe, and all of that. Yeah, they have deceived many Nigerians. Why? Because they are aspiring to travel. Yeah, because they feel like you can't prosper in Nigeria. Nigeria is so full of hardship, poverty, and sufferings. So they feel like anyone that has an opportunity to travel, God wants them to travel. So if someone comes to them for prayer, and the person is talking about, I want to know the will of God, should I travel to this country that has a good economy? The thing they will tell you is, God said travel. Which is wrong. In many cases, it is wrong. Yeah, because it's not everyone that have to travel out of their countries to prosper. It's not everyone that have to travel. So, but because most of these prophets, they have been conquered by a love of money and, you know, desire for material wealth and all of that. So it has not become difficult for them to accurately discern the will of God in those areas, which I just give you an example. And there are also many other areas like that, of like marriage, Like, you go to a prophet and say, I want to know if I can marry this person or if I should not. The way that prophet will guide you, or that pastor will guide you, might be wrong. Because in the aspect of marriage also, he is weak in that area, and he has not prevailed in that realm. So that is why his discernment is going to be false. Yeah, I don't know if you're getting the point. So this is how being pure will help you to discern what is pure. Being true will help you to discern what is true. So if you are not true, you are not pure to the truth, then you might not be able to discern the truth. In many situations, you might not. The other part of that verse said, love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, which I've already talked about that. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Now let's look at James, the book of James, 1:22-24. James chapter 1. James chapter 1:22-24. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Yeah, so you have to be true to the truth. And these verses already show us another practical way to be true to the truth. So when you hear the teaching of the Word of God, do it. When you hear the teaching of the truth, do it. That is what it means to be true to the truth. Do it. When we teach the Bible, telling you that it is wrong to tell lies, immediately you hear that message, stop telling lies. When we teach you from the Bible that fornication, masturbation, adultery, anger, hatred are sins and they are wrong, immediately you hear such message, obey instantly and do what the Word of God says. When we teach you about love, we teach you about sacrifices that comes with love, or sacrifices that comes from love, and that you must do those sacrifices. Immediately you hear such messages, obey and do the truth. Yeah, so if you are such a Christian that does all that you hear from God's servants, then you will prosper so quickly. You will excel so quickly. I mean, all that God has given his servants to preach and to teach. If you are a Christian that obeys instantly when you hear those messages, you do exactly what you have been told from the Word of God, then your prosperity will manifest so quickly and so fast. You will move forward in life and calling and career so easily. A lot of things will happen in your life. Great things. Signs and wonders. Miracles. You wonder why some people keep sharing testimonies. They keep having testimonies. They keep experiencing miracles. And some other people are not. Despite the fact that they both belong to the same ministry or to the same church. One of the reasons why that happens is because those who were experiencing miracles, they are doing everything they teach and they say in that ministry. When they say fast, they fast. When they say repent, they repent. When they say love God, serve God, give, they do everything. Yeah, without doubting, without murmuring, without questioning the leadership. Questioning whether, without saying, maybe he's even a false prophet. Maybe God did not even spoke to him. Yeah, people who followed everything they teach in that ministry with the whole of their hearts, usually when God visits to do miracles, they will be the first partakers of miracles. Whenever God visits them in that ministry, those kind of people will experience miracles first. Yeah. So that tells you that it pays when you are true to the truth. When you do the word of God. In fact, that is when you will call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. According to Romans 10 verse 13, that is when you will shout Jesus and immediately Jesus will show up. Why? Because you are doing the word of God. But when you are not doing the word of God, you just hear the messages and then you just forget about it. Just like James said in that place, he said, such a man that does not do the word is a man that he look at him, himself in the mirror. And he saw how he looked in the mirror. And then after he saw how he looked in the mirror, he just went his way. Forgetting how we look in that mirror. Let's say, for instance, you looked at the mirror and then you saw that you are wearing nothing, you are naked. You saw it, or you saw yourself on the mirror that you are naked. Now, a wise person will take some clothes and cover the nakedness, but then you just ignore your nakedness and then you just open the door of the house and then start going on the street naked. That is exactly how it is with those who, after they have heard the message of God's kingdom, refuse to do it and just walk away. Yeah, that is how they are. They are naked. And their lives are vulnerable to all kinds of attacks from the kingdom of darkness. Believe me, devil knows those that are doing the word of God. He knows those that are doing it. He knows those that are not doing it. There is a sign he will see when he looks at a man who is true to the truth. There is a sign witches and wizards will see. There is a sign agents of Satan will see when they see such man. And there's a sign they will also see when they see a Christian or a pastor that is not doing what he's preaching or what the word of God or the Bible says, the Bible is carrying about what it says, there is a sign that they will see in, you know, in your life or in the life of such man in the kingdom of darkness. When they look at such person, there's something they will see. And they will know that, oh, this person is now vulnerable. We can now attack this person because he's just a fake Christian. And when they attack, they will succeed. Because when you are fake, your life will be void of power. Yeah, so that is it. So I pray for you that that henceforth you will be true to the truth. Yeah, that you will make God's laws your own. Yeah, I was reading that place in a, I think it's in Psalm 37. So when I saw that place recently, I was excited, if I can put it that way, that such thing is in the word, is in the Bible. Yeah, I was excited to see that verse in the Bible. Let me check if I can find it. Yeah, if not, whenever I see it, I will show you. That verse was talking about, okay, I think I have found it. It's in Psalm 37 verse 31. Psalm 37 verse 31. Or maybe I should start from verse 13. It says, the godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. Verse 31. They have made God's law their home. So when I saw that place, I was touched. It said, they have made God's law their home. So they will never slip from his path. I'm reading it from New Living Translation. It said, the godly people, they have made God's law their own. Do you know what that means? It means that everything God said we should do as Christians, they have made it, you know, such Christians made it their own, meaning that they see it as how will I put it now? They take it beyond commandments. Yeah, they took it beyond commandments. Like, okay, I'm doing this because God said I should do it. Yeah, they took it beyond that level. So they took it to the point where I can call it like this. I can say it this way. They took it from God said I should do this to the level of I want to do this. So that is what it means in that verse, Psalm 37, verse 31. It says they made God's law their own. So meaning that they took God's law from the realm of instruction or commandment to the realm of their choice and decision. Yeah, that is it. So they no longer see God's law as God said I should do this. They now see God's law as I want to do it. Yeah, in fact, I love to do it. In fact, this is what I want to live for. This is how I want to live my life. And that is powerful. When I saw that in that Psalm 37, when I saw that verse, I was touched because I know what it means. When I saw it, I know what it means. So if we can live like that, there is a lot waiting for us. in the kingdom of God. If you and I can live like that, there is a lot we will gain in the kingdom of God. And this issue of being true to the truth is a message for everyone. Whether you are an apostle, whether you are an evangelist, whether you are a pastor, whether you are a church founder, whether you are already famous, and everybody already know you and know your ministry all over the world, or whether you already have thousands of church members. Yeah, it's a message for everyone. Because God is no respecter of persons. If we refuse to be true to the truth, then we are ready to be judged. It means we are ready to be judged by God. And we would definitely be judged. Yeah, so now let's look at the second point, which is the last point in the introduction. The point says, Satan's hatred for those who can discern. Satan's hatred for those who can discern. Yeah, when they know in the kingdom of darkness that you have a strong discerning spirit, they will not leave you alone. They will make you their target. They will be attacking you almost every day or every hour. You'll be under attack. The reason is because those who can discern their light bearers and they are soul winners. Those who can discern, they have the ability to correct those who are on the wrong path. They have the ability to win souls. They have the ability to terminate the plans and agenda of the kingdom of darkness. Yeah, for instance, when the coronavirus pandemic started, a lot of pastors easily fell for the scam because it was a scam. The COVID-19, everything was a scam. Yeah, it was all created. They created the pandemic. So it was not a pandemic. It was not a pandemic. Some people call it plandemic. Plandemic meaning that it was strategically planned. Yeah, they already planned everything. They created the virus, introduced it. Everything was well planned. But those pastors who couldn't discern easily fell for that scam or fell for that agenda, including Christians who couldn't discern. So many of them went ahead and they took the vaccines. And a lot of mistakes and errors many Christians made. Why? Because they couldn't discern. But the few group of people who could discern, you will see that they kept attacking those groups of people. And on the TV, they kept attacking. They kept saying it is those people that are refusing to take the vaccine that are spreading the virus. Don't allow them to. In fact, some pastors are saying, if you don't take the vaccine, don't come to my church. Yeah, so that is it. When they know in the kingdom of darkness that you know the truth, that you can discern accurately, they will attack you. Yeah, they will keep attacking you. I can't be telling you many things that I go through. Yeah, many things that I go through personally. How much attacks I get every second, every minute, because I can discern. Yeah, and because I can discern righteousness from unrighteousness, I can discern truth from false, from falsehood. I can discern truth from deception. I can discern light from darkness. That is why they keep attacking me, because it means I can save many souls. Yeah, by showing them that this thing you think is the right thing is actually the wrong thing. And this thing you think is helping you is actually not helping you. So I can tell people that you have been under bondage. Come out of the bondage. Yeah, I can tell people that you have been initiated. You are now like a witchcraft person. Repent. Yeah, so I can do all those things because I can discern. And that is why they will not let me have rest. I mean, the kingdom of darkness will always attack. Yeah, so you need to know that. So if you're asking God, or maybe I should not put it that way. If you are, trusting God to develop a strong discerning spirit, I mean, to help you have a strong discerning spirit, then you must be ready for attacks. Yeah, I remember some time ago when I was praying, I was asking God to give me grace to see divine revelations, especially to see things as they really are. Yeah, not as they are appearing to my physical eyes, but to see things, to see people as they really are. Yeah, I was asking God for that grace. And what the Lord told me after I prayed that prayer really shocked me. Yeah, he said, if I'm going to give you this grace, it means, number one, it means you will be against everyone. And number two, it means everyone will be against you. So I was like, is it that serious? Yeah, because that is kind of similar to what God said about Ishmael. Yeah, when God was talking about the generation of Ishmael, which is the son Hagar gave the son that Hagar had for Abraham. So I was like, is it a curse to see divine revelations? But it is not. Though it looks like a curse, but it is not a curse. It's just like God trying to say, this is what will begin to happen to you when you are able to discern at a very high level. He said, number one, you will be against everyone. And number two, everyone will be against you. And when I look at those words the Lord told me, when I look at it deeply, I now realize that it is true. Yeah, because because many times I say things that that many people don't agree with. Yeah, and I can't blame them. Why? Because they are not saying what I'm saying. That is why what I say they hardly believe. Yeah. And then if, let's say, I now begin to expose secrets of some wicked people, definitely they will start attacking me. So that was what God meant by, you'll be against everyone, and everyone will be against you. Yeah, because when you expose secrets of some top demonic societies, or secrets of some occultic pastors, when you begin to expose those secrets, they will attack you. Yeah. So now let's quickly look at some scriptures. I won't dwell much on those verses because of time. Now let us look at Acts chapter 13 verse 15. Acts chapter 13 verse 15. Yeah, Acts of the Apostles chapter 13 verse 15. But the Jews teared up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Yeah. So when you can discern, Satan will stir up people to persecute him. Yeah. It is painful that the same people who killed Jesus Christ were the same people who consider God to be their father, were the same people who so much believe the Bible, were the same people who call upon the name of God, and they were the same people who killed the Holy Son of God. Yeah, so when we talk about persecutions, it does not have to be that it will come from other religions. Even in the church, you will be heavily persecuted if you are a Christian that can discern. Even in the church, even among fellow Christians, among fellow believers, so-called Christians, so-called ministers of God, they will rise to persecute you. In this verse, the so-called Jews, God's people, you know, began to stir up everyone in that area to attack Paul and Barnabas. Yeah. So if you can discern, you should get ready for persecution. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yeah, it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Yeah. Yeah. That is the truth. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then in Mark chapter 10, verse 30, Mark chapter 10, verse 30, "But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." Now, Jesus spoke this way when Peter confronted him and said, "Look at us, we have left everything to follow you." yeah, we have left our profession, left our money, I mean, left our businesses. I mean, they left things that could give, fetch them money. He said, we have left everything to follow you, left our wives, our family members to follow you. So he was not saying, what are we going to gain in return? Jesus said, you shall receive 100-fold, meaning that everything you think you have left behind, you will receive 100-fold of them. Yeah, he said, you will receive houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands. Yeah. But he mentioned something, he said, you will also receive persecutions. Yeah. So when God is blessing you, giving you houses, blessings, money, giving you people that they even love you more than your own children or your own parents or your own siblings. When God is giving you those people, Jesus said that God will also give you persecutions. Yeah, so that is what many preachers and teachers don't talk about. So even as you receive other blessings from God, be ready to receive persecutions too. Yeah, be ready to receive persecutions too. Why? Because the system of this world is hostile to the system by which you live as a Christian. Yeah, so in many cases, you will not be in agreement with others. Yeah, in many cases. Yeah, some people will ask me and say, well, what exactly is wrong in women wearing trousers? What exactly is wrong in women using jewelry, using fake hair, false beauty, all those hair attachments, and all those cosmetics, makeups? So that they begin to say, what exactly is wrong? Why are you so much against it? Yeah. Some, they are okay with every other thing I teach. They are okay with every other thing I preach. But when I start talking about that aspect, they start persecuting me. Yeah. That, you know, that tells you that don't expect to be loved by everyone, especially if you are someone who can discern darkness and you can discern the depths of darkness and the depths of the light. Don't expect to be loved by everyone. In fact, everyone will be against you. Yeah, but when God is for you, I will say, who can be against you? So meaning that even if they stand against you, they will not prevail, because God is on your side. So when God has shown you the truth, obey it, follow it. Even if it means only you is following that truth, let it be only you, even if it means only you. Yeah. May the Lord give you more understanding of His word. So we are going to stop here. If you have question, you can ask on the group. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. We thank you for all that you have shown us during the course of this teaching. Thank you for letting us know how important it is to be true to the truth. How important it is to do everything your word teaches. Lord, I ask that you help everyone who have heard this message. Oh Lord, help everyone to be true to your truth in Jesus' name. I pray for you that every unclean spirit, evil spirit that has possessed your mind, and that spirit is always turning the truth of the Word of God to lies in your mind, I decree that the fire of God arrest and consume that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Henceforth, you shall begin to make God's laws your own in the name of Jesus. And you shall surrender your entire life to the truth of God's word. Thank you, Father, because we know you shall do these things in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah, remain blessed.
Goodbye.